Police Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of August 2nd, 2016, and episode number 276. Wow, I'm getting up there. This is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, as always. Yeah, I've got a UFO hangover. Spent the weekend in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania at the annual Kecksburg UFO event. We're going to talk about that real quick, but this week I'm going to also talk about cougars released into the wild. No, not those kind of cougars. Mountain lions released into the wild. And you can help end illegal UFO secrecy. Find out in just a few minutes. We'll also talk about the MUFON UFO sighting statistics for July. Thank you, Audrey, for that information. And the world's first ghost officially caught. There it is. It's done. It's over. The world's first ghost is officially caught, well, on camera. Not really, but we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about there's a lot of videos going on. Ghost catches a cab in Japan. We're also going to talk, Conjuring 2 is back in the news. We'll talk about that. Something bad happened with that. Again, can you imagine that? And we're also going to stir the pot. I like stirring the pot. It's fun. Keeps the heat evenly distributed in the pot there. Are there experts in the paranormal? Yeah, I'm going to go for it. I am going there. We'll talk about that. Plus, if we have time, there's a handful of other stories that I have that some of them I've been putting off for a little while, but we'll see if we have time. Plus, we'll have the book of the week as always, and maybe some conferences, conventions, I don't know. And the biggest news this week, you probably didn't even realize this, but if you're listening to the show, you made it. You made it again. The prediction by End Times Prophecies did not come true for last Friday. Oh, well, no pole reversal, no earth-shattering earthquake ended life here in the world. So we all made it from the big scare of last week. The world was supposed to come to an end last Friday on July 29th, and good thing it didn't. And I was prepared. I was driving down to Kecksburg on Friday and waiting. I was waiting. I didn't know what time. You know, they didn't give a schedule, so I wasn't sure what time exactly. I had to have clean underwear on, I guess. I don't know. Drove out to Kecksburg Friday afternoon. Doors opened up down there at 5 o'clock. I actually camped out, which is a lot of fun. On the campgrounds that I stayed at actually have had Bigfoot sightings. I knew they were around that location, but I didn't know that they actually happened in that location. And I was talking to Stan Gordon about where I was staying, and Stan is the man. If you don't know who Stan Gordon is, you don't know Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is his stomping ground, especially Southwest Pennsylvania. He's been documenting UFO sightings, Bigfoot sightings, and UFO / Bigfoot sightings, if that makes any sense. Probably one of the best guys in the world that's correlated these two things happening at the same time. Southwest Pennsylvania, for longer than I've been alive, he's been investigating this stuff. And the Kecksburg UFO event is something that really catapulted him into doing this stuff. Again, people always ask me, how did you get involved? I wish I had a cool story like, yeah, there was this UFO that fell over Kecksburg in 1965. That's what got me into it. No, I don't have that cool story. But yeah, it was a great time. UFO festival, they've been doing it for years. They used to have, it was like some historical thing, event. And then it just kind of evolved into this UFO thing. And they have hot dog eating contests, and they had some some heavy hitters that came down. So I kind of decided not to get involved. I don't want to embarrass myself. There were people that actually came from all over the world, competitive eaters, to join in on this thing. So I was a little scared off. And they had a burnout contest, which is awesome. I posted some pictures on Facebook of that. It was like complete whiteout in some situations. It was pretty cool. Saturday, it rained, and it rained, and it rained. We had flash flood warnings. My tent was like really wet. It was pretty bad, but it ended up being okay. The event went on. It was a little slow, but we spent all day, a good 10 hours there at the event on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday was the actual conference. So it was kind of a half day there, 12 to 5. And the conference had Stan Gordon, of course, the big guy, John Ventry, who's the PA MUFON state director for Mutual UFO Network, is kind of a popular guy, kind of a famous guy, and he's had some not so popular theories about the Kecksburg incident. There's a lot of people that don't agree with what he said, and I've talked about it here on the show on the Paranormal News Insider before. I think it's a sound theory, but whether or not we're ever going to find out, who knows? Nobody really knows. So it's great to meet Stan and John at the event, two people that are researching this from different ends. Dave Dragason was also speaking at the event. If you don't know who Dave is a longtime Bigfoot researcher, and he's also an artist. Now, he takes reports directly from witnesses, and he creates drawings. And these drawings are really, really interesting, because when you stand back and you look at them, handfuls of reports seem to show distinct correlations in how these Bigfoot look. And it's something I often thought of, but have never really seen visually, other than regional differences or differences by country. So Dave brings something that really no one else is doing out there. And it's his work is just incredible. And who else was speaking? Oh, Jimmy N.D. Trick from Goosebumps Paranormal. Very, very intelligent couple there. They know their stuff. Great researchers. And Jimmy makes some really cool walking sticks that I actually won one of those back in April. Awesome. Also, I have to mention that Fred Saluga was on hand. Got to mention him. If I don't, I'm in trouble. West Virginia MUFON State Director. And he was just named the MUFON Cryptid Specialist a couple of months ago. And I don't often get giddy when I meet people. But in the paranormal, I get excited sometimes when I meet people. First time I met Stan Gordon, I was like, wow, Stan Gordon. First time I met John Ventry, I was like, wow, John Ventry, holy cow. That's my starstruck kind of stuff. Well, I had a moment. I think it was on Saturday. I saw some guy talking to Stan, and they're just chit-chatting like they've known each other for a long time. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, he looks familiar, but I'm not sure exactly who he is. And I'm talking to somebody else who's at my table, and I'm parked right next to Stan. And between Stan and I can't remember this guy's name. He's an electronics expert. And then Jimmy and D. Trick are another one down. And then a good friend of mine, Ron Murphy, was also down there. And Ron's going to get some airtime on the show in the next couple of weeks. I bought two of his books. But anyway, I see this guy talking, and I'm like, man, that guy looks familiar. And I keep looking over at him. And the gentleman or the people that were at my table, they moved on. And this guy walks up, and he's looking at my stuff. And I'm talking to him. I'm like, you look familiar. You know, have I ever met you before? And he's like, no, probably not. I don't recognize you. And he goes, hi, I'm Roger Marsh. And I like my hands threw up, but I jumped back. I was like, oh, my God, you're Roger Marsh. And everyone stops and looks at me like I'm crazy. Roger Marsh is a pretty popular guy in the UFO world. He's followed his work for a long time, and he's been involved with Stan Gordon for a long time. And he actually was the editor of one of his latest books, Silent Invasion, which was the book of the week a couple of weeks ago. He's the director of communications for MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. So he's a big deal in MUFON. He's just a great, very knowledgeable guy and a great writer, and does a lot of work for MUFON and a lot of other organizations. He's on Huffington Post and I believe he worked for at one time about.com and different stuff that I've followed his work for a long time. So that was my little giddy moment, my little kid moment of the weekend. But yeah, Ron Murphy, a great writer, writes about a good book. I saw him speak at the Butler Paranormal Convention. Didn't really have a chance to talk to him. That event was like over before you knew it. And I was talking to so many people, didn't have a chance to sit and talk to him. So I had a great chance this weekend to sit and get to know Ron Murphy. And he's the author of a book called On Dogman. So it's about Dogman. He's a brilliant researcher, historian, all around great researcher, investigator. And we're going to probably go out there. He's a folklorist, cryptozoologist, investigator. I bought two of his books because I'm like that. So I go to these events to sell books and to speak sometimes. I didn't speak at this one because I'm not really that big in the UFO field. And go to sell books to make money to, buy more books, because that's all I need right now is more books. I have piles of books everywhere. I look like a little bookstore. But a couple of great books. I already am halfway through On Dogman, or actually, no, his other one, On Wild Man, Tracking Bigfoot Through History. It's a great book so far, and that will eventually be the book of the week. Also on Sunday was a kid named Colin Schneider. He's a kid. He's in high school. But he is also a brilliant researcher, an up-and-coming guy. A lot of people are excited to meet this guy, this kid, because he's so ahead of his time. And, you know, wow, wish I was at that point when I was his age. He's got a great career ahead of him as a researcher and investigator. And he's excited. He's getting on some radio shows. He's writing some stuff. He just had something published for the Center for Fortean Zoology in the United Kingdom. So he's on his way. And of course, so many people, a lot of people wearing tinfoil hats, really aluminum foil hats over the weekend. It's kind of weird. Never really hung out at these UFO things. A lot of interesting people, a lot of great fun, funny things to buy. I got this huge alien mug to drink out of. It was really exciting. And I also got to, it's funny, quick story. This lady came and she looks at me and she goes, "You look familiar. Were you on this TV show?" And I said, I started laughing. I was like, "No, I'll never be on TV. I have a face for radio. I don't care to be on any kind of TV show at all. Not my thing." So about 5 minutes later, this guy comes around and he's filming Stan Gordon. And I figured, yeah, of course he's filming Stan Gordon. He's Stan Gordon, for crying out loud. Then he gets to my table and he's like, "Do you mind if I film you for this local cable access channel thingamajiggy?" I'm like, "Well, sure." So I did this quick, like 2 minute little about me thing on TV. And I was thinking, man, I just lied to that lady. I told her I'd never be on TV. And here 5 minutes later, I'm filming something for a local cable access television show. So you can't trust anybody in the paranormal, folks. We all lie. I guess that's the moral of the story. And yeah, it was a great weekend. I had a lot of fun, met a lot of great people, heard a lot of great stories, a lot of great interesting cases and things like that. And also met, man, Sunday night, I met this really intelligent guy. He was a naturalist and tracker. And we talked about large birds and all kinds of cool stuff about animals, and got his name and number so we can learn a little bit more from him. That's what you go to these things for, to network, to hear stories, to meet new people. These events are great. These events are great. So get out there. Look at the list of events. ParanewsInsider.com. Click on the events tab at the top. I got to update it. I'm a couple days behind. I'm still catching up. I got all kinds of emails and stuff to catch up on. There's people waiting for answers for different things, and I'm a little bit behind. But I had to prep for the show tonight, and here we are. My next event is going to be August 20th in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I'll be speaking at the 4th Annual Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania. And John Ventry and Stan Gordon will also be there speaking as well. It's going to be another free event to the public. I'll tell you what, Kecksburg was awesome. There were so many people there. It was crowded. It was packed. Even with the heavy rains that we had on Saturday, flash flood warnings were in effect all day long, but people showed up in droves. A lot of people came up 2 or 3 days. So great time, sold a ton of books. Really happy about that. It's always nice to come back It's not about the money, but it's nice to come back with a lot less books than you went with, always. And I have other stuff coming up. I don't want to talk on and on about it, but good times. And today's news, or this week's news, I should say, is brought to you by the International Cryptozoology Museum, which is located in Portland, Maine. The International Cryptozoology Museum opened in 2003 and contains rare and original items collected by Lauren Coleman, the director of the museum. Visit the International Cryptozoology Museum, which is now at 4 Thompson's Point Road, Suite 106, and is bigger than ever. Again, that's in Portland, Maine. And for more information, please visit cryptozoologymuseum.com. Everything is .com nowadays, right? Well, let's jump into some cryptid news. Why not? That's what we're here for, right? The Paranormal News Insider. Not here to talk about my fun and my adventures for a whole hour, maybe 20 minutes. So cryptid news, right off the bat, my favorite story of the week. And to kind of set this up, yeah, I'm going to continue talking about my adventures. Campgrounds I stayed at. Can't remember off the top of my head what it was called. Fox Den something or other, New Staten, Pennsylvania. Anyway, they had a museum. It was an animal museum inside the little general store they had. And I wasn't sure what to think of that when I saw it on the sign as I walked in. There was a bunch of taxidermied animals everywhere. And one instantly drew my attention, and that was of a cougar, mountain lion, mounted up above the check-in desk up there. There was wolves, wild boars, ducks, deer, elk, sheep, you name it, it was up there. Nothing too exotic, nothing that was endangered or anything like that. Very common animals, but animals from all over the world. So I sat and I talked to the owner for a little, or not the owner, but the lady who was at the desk at the time about that. And she said a lot of people become offended by that, to see all these dead animals. But, you know, sometimes it's necessary to cull the herd, and that's just it's just called nature, and it happens. But none of those animals were really any that were endangered or anything like that. But anyway, the headline of this particular article, of this first story in Cryptid News, it comes from a website called good.is, and the headline grabs your attention, and it reads, quote, "Scientists want to release cougars into the suburbs for our safety," unquote. Yeah, for our safety. You may be thinking, what, are you out of your mind? Well, every time I hear about a cougar or mountain lion sighting, especially here in the East Coast, especially Ohio, people tend to lose their minds, especially in the comments section. That, oh my gosh, somebody killed this thing. Get it under control. Blah, blah, blah. Well, for many, they become fearful and think, you know, this is a vicious beast that has a bloodthirst for children, and it's going to attack anybody and everybody at every moment. Yeah, these are wild creatures, but they're not that bad. And I have a passion for these animals, and I've spent a considerable amount of time talking about them in my latest book, Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist. See what I did there? I've also been in numerous states. Well, not numerous, I guess. They're supposedly here in Ohio. I don't know. I've never seen one. I've seen a lot of evidence, seen some tracks, lots of pictures. But I went down to southern Florida and was in areas where they had signs posted to watch out for panther crossings. Stood there and watched, waited for one to cross. Never saw one, but lots of signage and a lot of warnings about their presence there. Didn't get to see any. Been to Washington State a couple of times. Didn't get to see any out there. Eventually, it's my dream to see one of these guys or gals in the wild. Now, the article, back to the article. I keep getting lost here. The article points out an interesting fact, not directly but indirectly, that while cougar have killed a documented 21 North Americans in the last 110 years. That's a long time. 21 people is a lot of people, but 110 years. Now, a lot of people would think it's a lot higher than that, but that's it. That's documented. Maybe there's more. I don't know. But that's really not that much. When you consider that deer, yes, those sweet little creatures, deer, have killed an average of 200 people a year. It's time to ban the deer. A yearly average of around 1 million accidents are caused by deer and car collisions, and between 2011 and 2012 caused around 4 billion, that's 4 billion of, with a B, in damage to vehicles, according to data from insurancejournal.com. Now, mountain lions once roamed the eastern United States. They're supposed to be here, but we killed them off. We hunted them into virtually extinction. The eastern cougar is actually extinct. But they're now limited to, again, South Florida and west of the Mississippi, according to experts. Now, scientists are suggesting putting mountain lions into the suburbs, which could prevent about 155 estimated deaths annually and billions in accident-related costs over time. Now, some people may think that's crazy. Why? No way. Why turn these animals loose? I've always felt the same way. I've always thought that this is the right way to balance out things. Nature, just like Jurassic Park, I always quote this, nature finds a way. Life finds a way. Everything balances out as long as you allow it to. So maybe putting them there on purpose may not be the answer. I mean, we all know that follow the paranormal news, know that they're coming here anyway. But I guess to speed up the process. Now, most states want to use hunters via permits to help raise money in that aspect to keep the number of deer in control, which realistically in Ohio, they're out of control. They eat everything. Do millions of dollars in crop damage every year. The cost of corn is a lot higher than what it should be because of deer damage. So I don't think states would allow the use of an ambush predator to do the job of those who would provide money back into the system currently do. But again, it's the natural choice. And aren't we all about natural choices? And I would totally 100% support that. So UFO news, going to jump into this real quick. And if you want to, you don't believe me on this article, I'm going to put that in the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, well, you're not in the chat room. You're not there. You're missing out. You're missing out on the rowdy fun. I see that Dita finally showed up, and she's keeping everyone in check. So UFO news. Let me ask you this question. Do you want to end illegal UFO and free energy secrecy? I mean, who doesn't? Well, now you can help. You can help end illegal UFO and free energy secrecy. You could help end the tyranny. How? How do you ask? Well, how else but by donating money? Ha ha. Wow, it's that simple. You can help end illegal UFO and free energy secrecy by giving money away. It's that simple, folks. And who are you going to give it to? Well, you could give it to me. I'd probably buy a bunch of books, but to give it to Dr. Stephen Greer, the quote, and I quote, father of the global disclosure movement, unquote. And I guess he is, because I get his emails 10 times a day. He is seeking funds for another project that will most certainly bring the government to its knees and spill all the secrets and hand over all of the secret files at once. His project is called, quote, unacknowledged. And I'm going to read this just exactly how it is. So hold on. Unacknowledged. An expose of the greatest secret in human history, unquote. I don't think they mean expose. What I think they mean is, quote, unacknowledged. An expose of the greatest secret in human history. Well, it helps. Punctuation helps. Unacknowledged is the name of, it's named after the super secret and illegal unacknowledged special access projects, USAPs, that deal with the UFO ET issue. Now, the goal by February 1st, 2017 is to raise $500,000 for the project. Now, according to the site yesterday, Greer had raised over $215,000 from the website, but including checks, wire transfers, and cash donations from those that are apparently outside of the grid, the grand total sits at $539,834, and I don't know how many cents. And along with the movie, there's going to be a book. Oh, a book. Maybe I'll buy the book. And just like many other online campaign style projects, you can receive various benefits based on the money you donate. $500,000. Yeah, I'm definitely in the wrong business. Yikes. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe you think that it'll actually do something. I'm not convinced that a movie is going to do anything, especially not all the emails I receive about freeing the information. Disclosure is a big topic. It's always been a big topic. It's more than once. It's been actually once. It was the number one story of the year here on the Paranormal News Insider when I do the yearly countdown. But it's always been one of those hot topics. And we always assume that the government has all this information and we have to sit around and beg and plead and hope that all this information is given to us to validate everything. Well, I don't think it works that way. I think that the disclosure is within us. It's in with the knowledge that we can find or the evidence that we can gather. I think disclosure is up to us. No, we can't sit around and wait for somebody else. We got to go out there and do it ourselves. I don't know. Maybe a movie will do it. I don't know. I'll have to get some popcorn and let you know. So we'll find out next year, I guess, if it works, if it'll work. I don't know. And I'm going to pause real quick to let you know that you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons, in case you had no idea of what you're actually listening to. Well, I'm going to continue on here with UFO news. Got some great news in the mailbox today on August 2nd. Big thanks to Audrey Hamilton, MUFON field investigator out of Pennsylvania for the information. I don't know what it is with me in Pennsylvania. Probably know more investigators and researchers in Pennsylvania right now than anywhere. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, UFO sighting statistics for MUFON for the month of July for 2016. And yeah, probably one of the first things you're thinking about if you've listened to me talk about these sighting statistics in the past is my predictions. Well, didn't do so hot this month. I was a little off. But it's often a good way because I undershot what they were predicting. Now, I predicted 586 total worldwide reports, sightings, 586 total. And MUFON actually received 710. Whoops. Well, that was good. I'm glad that they did. Glad that they blew my guesstimate out of the water. And I also predicted that the United States would get a total of 432 of these reports, but there was 520. I was off by a little bit, just a little bit. Okay, I was off by a lot. And what's good about this is the largest total for 2016 for worldwide and U.S. sightings and the most since November of last year. So that's positive. It's a good thing. And probably with everybody being outside, June was the biggest month ever in history of last year. July was not too shabby as well. Now, the second highest country after the United States was Canada, and they had 59 sightings. The United Kingdom turned in 30. India was third with 10, and it fell off quite quick after that, with 44 more countries turning in 8 or fewer reports, and 21 countries turning in only one report. So 66 countries. That's not too shabby. The top state for July was California, as always, with 70 sightings. And you wonder why. Well, why is California tops? Why is California always in the lead? Why is California always had the most UFO sightings? Well, I'll tell you why. They rank number one in population, 38,802,500 people. That's a lot of people. California number one. And you'll notice the state rankings, and this is according to 2014 census estimates, California is number one, Texas number two, Florida number three, New York number four, Illinois number five. So when you hear these signing statistics, it's pretty close to that. So it should be. So that means that these signing reports are put out there pretty well, that you're getting a good cut of the country. It's fairly even when you're hitting these numbers pretty close. That's a good sign. Like to see a lot more sightings turned in, but as long as they're legitimate, you can't complain. New York was number 2 with 46. Florida had 36. Texas, 30. Again, you notice these are all the top states here. Missouri, 29. Michigan, 21. Ohio and Pennsylvania both had 17 sightings, or reports, I should say, each. Illinois had 16. Arizona, Oregon, and Nevada had 15 each. Washington, Indiana, and Tennessee had 12 sightings each. And Virginia, Colorado, and Georgia had 10. The remaining states and the District of Columbia turned in 9 or fewer reports each. So if I didn't name your state, you might not have seen anything. Get out there. Get outside and look up. Something's going on out there. And like I mentioned, it's by state. So California with 70 sightings, that sounds impressive. But again, huge amounts of population. It's very high. So when you look at per capita sightings, and MUFON used to do this, I don't know why they don't. Maybe it's a little bit of the math and maybe confuses people. I don't know. Hopefully I don't confuse you when I talk about it. But when you break this down and you look again at the population, California, 38,802,500 people, and you take the 70 reports and you divide it by the population, and you multiply it by 100,000. So you get a per capita of 100. How many people out of 100,000 people saw a UFO? Well, in California, it was 0.18. 0.18, that's like a partial. It's like somebody's arm saw a UFO, not a whole person. So 0.18, not really that impressive. And when you look at other states, Vermont, for example, they only had 4 sightings, but their per capita is 0.64. So over half of a person out of every 100,000 people saw or reported a UFO. And to me, one of the most impressive was Nevada, which turned in a 0.53 per capita. So per 100,000 people, 0.53 of a person reported, which is, yeah, that's okay. It's decent. But Nevada turned in 15 sightings. And that's not bad when you think about how many total reports were turned in. And Nevada is ranked 35th with 2,839,099 people. 99. All we needed was one more. So 35th in population, and they were pretty much in the middle there in sightings. So that's impressive. Well, Nevada, they got a lot of weird stuff going on anyway. Wyoming was 0.51 with just 3 sightings. And Oregon, I don't know how you pronounce that. I always change it up, just keep people guessing. 0.38 with 15 sightings as well. And again, I've talked about this before. This is just the reports that are turned in. Does not necessarily mean that they happened within the month of July, just that they were reported from July 1st through the end of the month, July 31st. And they were just reported at that time. It could have been 20 years ago. It could have been in April. We don't know. We just take it as it is. You know, and you look at it as an average anyway. And it kind of tells us what's going on. You know, when you have spikes, huge spikes, maybe there was something on TV, a UFO show, the X-Files. I don't know. The X-Files really didn't do a major dent in that. Now looking back in January, 687 sightings kind of came down from the month, the year before, I guess, kind of fell off. December had 624 worldwide. So I guess it did spike a little bit. Nothing major. So am I going to do predictions? I didn't even think about this. Should I do predictions? I don't know. I was pretty off. 710, June had 604 total worldwide reports and 453 for the United States. And again, I mentioned July, 710 total, 520 U.S. So let me think here. You know what? I'll go for it. 695 worldwide reports, and we're going to go with 500 and why not 515 U.S. reports. That's my prediction. I'm writing it in there right now. Boom, there it is. Write it down at home and keep track of how good I am or how bad I am. So thanks again, Audrey, Paranormal Audrey there in the chat room for helping me with this. It is a big deal. I thank you very much for the MUFON information. It's hard to get a hold of sometimes. I don't know why people in MUFON yell at me and tell me it's so easy to get a hold of. Well, I don't get the email. They don't send it to me. I'm a MUFON member since 2002. I don't get it, but used to get it all the time. It's been sporadic, and I do enjoy the statistics. I think it's interesting to look at, to stand back and look at these things and evaluate that for what it's worth. These sightings, whether they're legitimate or not, we don't know. Sightings are investigated fairly quickly, and sometimes these cases are highlighted in MUFON, thanks to Roger Marsh. We'll break down the sightings of the month. So highly recommend if you're interested in UFOs and interested in statistics and knowing what's going on in the UFO world, MUFON.com. Check it out. Not getting paid for that. I just think MUFON is a very valuable asset. There's a lot of good things and bad things you hear about MUFON, but overall, a large group of people like this out there doing the same thing. You know, we always talk about paranormal unity. Well, MUFON's done a great job at getting people together for a common cause of investigating UFO reports, and they do a great job, I think. So they do the best they can with people. People are difficult, as we know. So if you're listening to the show, again, I appreciate it very much. You can catch the show all over the place, live here on WCJV every Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. It's then put onto Mixcloud right after that on the network stream there. Then I put it up into Podbean, which then it goes back onto Mixcloud under the Paranormal News Insider by itself. You can also find it on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, Pocket Cast, CastBox, Podcast, and Radio Music, Beyond Podcast Manager, Overcast, Downcast, Cloudcast, Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic, Podcast App, blah, 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 on and on and on. As well as iHeartRadio. And a lot of these other ones, you can actually just download it, or the feed, which is, you get that from Podbean, pni.podbean.com. You can just do that. You can email somebody and say, hey, how come the Paranormal News Insider is not on my podcast app? And you can yell too. That's cool. They're not going to care. So anyway, ghost news. This is, usually I think back on a lot of the shows in the last, especially the last 40 some odd weeks, 45 weeks, I've been doing the show live here every Tuesday night on WCJV, and Ghost News doesn't really seem to always get a whole lot of stuff. So tonight, the last 20 minutes of the show, all ghost stuff. How do you like that? No other news tonight. The rest of the show, ghost stuff. Including the book of the week. I'm going to throw that in there too. The book of the week is also ghost related. So all you ghost fans out there, here it is. Now, you've probably seen this video if you're paying attention and you kind of keep up with paranormal stuff. There's a video floating around. And it's the world's first ghost caught on camera. It's done. It's over. Everyone investigating, just sell your tools. Get rid of everything. Get rid of your Pelican cases, hang up your acronym. It's over. It's done. They found a ghost. It's on camera. It's on video. It's proven. Poof. It's over. All of our hard work. It's done. So we can move on. No more ghosts. We don't have to talk about them because they're proven. So in the chat room, I've thrown the video in there and you can click that little red square with the little white triangle there in the middle, and that'll start the video, and you can watch this true ghost. It's true. It's happened. So the headline reads of the story. It's the one I saw was on the Express from the United Kingdom. It says, quote, world's first ghost on camera. What was a question mark? So I guess it's world's first ghost on camera. Shopkeeper who died, it says decade ago. Maybe they mean decades ago. I don't know. I don't write this stuff. Filmed roaming round store, unquote. Okay. At least there was a question mark. And the subheadline made things a little bit more realistic by stating, quote, paranormal investigators have been left doing somersaults after the ghost of a long dead shopkeeper was allegedly committed. Well, he was allegedly committed to CCTV film, unquote. Allegedly. That's the key word here, not committed. A vintage clothes and antique shop in Nottingham, England, was originally a merchant shop back in the 1880s. And those that work in the store feel that an image captured on video is that of the first owner's wife. First owner's wife. Forget the owner. Who is he anyway? It's the first owner's wife. General manager, Izzy Watts. Izzy Watts. That's a great stage name if you're a rock musician. Izzy Watts. I'm going to steal that. That's going to be my stage name. Quote, I was 100% convinced by the footage. 100%, not 98%, 100% convinced by the footage. No, he didn't say that. He just said I was, anyway. When I saw it on my way to work, I actually felt sick, unquote. Okay. It was said in the article that people often asked if the building was haunted. Gee, a 150-year-old building haunted? Nah, that never happens. Well, the excited paranormal investigators are carefully studying the video in hopes that they can prove that this is the, quote, the real deal, unquote. Well, I'm not sure how you can prove that a ghost exists or a ghost is real with a video clip in conditions where there is little observation and in somewhat uncontrolled conditions. Even then, proof is a pretty big word. It's a pretty big word. This video here, though, not that impressive. Not that impressive compared to some of the other ghost videos that are floating around right now. Not that impressive. To me, it's more than likely just something that's close to the lens cover. And it's moving. And it's creating this movement. It's creating this imagery. It's basically an optical illusion. Something very close to the camera lens. Looks clear like that. Spider web, something hanging down. It doesn't take much. A bug even can create this effect. It doesn't, to me, it does not look anything ghostly. It does not look intelligent. It could be just anything. And it'd be easy to disprove it, but it, nearly impossible to prove that it's actually a ghost. Now, this next story is another video. Imagine that. Another ghost video is floating around the last couple of days. Yeah, I think you need the ghost fingerprints. Exactly. There are people that claim to be able to get put ghosts into a phone booth or something. They can capture them. But anyway, this next video shows a woman getting into a cab behind a man. It's a ghost woman. And it's called, the title is, quote, chilling CCTV footage captures ghost woman following man into taxi, unquote. And this one also asks the question of whether the video proves that ghosts are real. Well, maybe two of them together. Maybe this is all we need, right? Two videos. Not just one, but two. Wow. Random videos will never provide validation of ghosts. It's just not that simple. But in the video, you'll see a man, he walks to the edge of the platform where he briefly waits for a taxi to pull up. Now, as the man begins to walk toward the taxi, we begin to see a figure appear behind him as the taxi door opens up. If you notice that, it confused a lot of people, but I've seen these videos. One thing I've learned from watching all of these strange videos from all over the world is that Japan actually has these taxis where the driver can open the left rear door with a switch. There's a switch by the steering wheel and allows people to get in with relative ease. And it's also a kind of a theft deterrent. It's nice because the door opens up and you get in. You don't have to worry about that. But then it closes and locks behind you so you can't ditch and run. They don't tell you that part. Now, as the man climbs into the taxi, we see the ghost get into the cab with him. It kind of moves behind him real close, and then it jumps in the car with him, just as the door shuts. Wow. What a coincidence, right? It's got to be proof. How do you explain that, Brian? How do you explain that one away, huh? This is proof. Well, if you notice the taxi when it pulls up, now you gotta, if you, you can slow it down on YouTube. There's a way, if you go under settings, you can slow it down quarter speed, half speed. You can also speed things up. Sometimes I do that with stuff I don't really want to watch. I just speed it up so it's over quicker. Now you notice when the taxi pulls up, there's a little bit of blurring and motion blur. And you see the film stops, it kind of pauses, and the car jumps forward. It's not the greatest film ever. It's not the greatest capture ever. So there's a lot of motion blur, blurring. Trying to remember the other word. It's really the actual word that's causing this. But anyway, the ghostly image does not appear until the taxi stops. And I think one of the things that's affecting this is the brake lights. Now, the brake lights come on. It becomes bright. You see the whole entire landscape change from the brightness of the brake lights. And there's a little bit of contrast, too, because the man walks into the road there, and he's wearing white. Well, it appears white. It's probably not, but it's brighter than the concrete. So there's some contrast, some brilliance. And I believe that this bright reflection is responsible for the motion blur of the man, which is what is causing this kind of image to appear behind him. Now, unfortunately, there's nothing else really there in that to kind of back that up, to validate that. But nothing else is moving, and nothing else has that dynamic in color and variation in tone and everything that's in that area. You know, the people that are walking in the background, not really helping the situation. But if somebody was in that area, I guarantee you, you'd see the same or similar effect. And you can also see when the car turns, if you watch the wheels kind of actually do the same thing. There's ghost wheels behind that. Was that car involved in an accident? Did somebody, you know, somebody die making the wheel? I mean, how far are we going to go? Now, even if it was a ghost, how would we really know that it was a ghost? There's no way to prove it. There's no way to validate it other than just believing in it. So again, while there's no way to prove it wasn't a ghost, or I should say there's a million ways to prove it wasn't a ghost, and we could get this camera, we could replicate things, we could use the lighting, bring a car up, see if the brake light thing is really accurate or not. So there's a lot of ways to prove it wasn't a ghost, but there's really no way to prove it was. There's not enough information going on here to validate that or the previous story as well. But keep the videos coming. I find them interesting, entertaining. Well, we had The Conjuring 2. Talked about The Conjuring 2 before a couple of times, I think, here on the Paranormal News Insider. And it's back. This time, the movie has purportedly been removed from almost 300 theaters in France. Uh-oh, somebody else die and disappear? Well, apparently, not only is this movie too scary, but it also promotes violent reactions from viewers. The successful sequel has been pulled from 262 French theaters following loud laughter, that was me, and hysterical yelling. Purportedly, the frequent screaming has also led to physical altercations, well, at least in one theater. The movie was reportedly removed on June 29th, the opening day of the movie in France, due to disruptive conduct. Now, is this movie just too scary to be seen in France? Well, Paranormal Activity 4, Annabelle, and Sinister have also partially been banned in theaters. Yeah. French. I don't know what to say about the French. I don't know. There's another story here. Kind of stir the pot here. Now, it's out of a blog, and I actually read this. It was a retweet from the SPR, Society for Psychical Research, and it comes from a blog, Teresa's Haunted History of the Tri-State, which states that it combines fact with folklore. Now, Teresa is the author of the article and a paranormal investigator and historical researcher, historical research manager for Huntington Paranormal Investigations and Research, located in Huntington, West Virginia. She's also a tour guide for a local haunted and history tour. The blog in question is titled Monday Meme, Paranormal Experts, and features a picture of the words expert and professional with a bright red circle and slash through each of the words. And let me, for visual's sake, I'm going to throw that little file in there. You can see this is what started this little story. No expert, no professional. And below that it states, in the paranormal, these words do not exist, slash are not applicable. Remember that. And we've probably heard this before. There are no experts in the paranormal. A lot of people have said this over and over. Right. Now, it's funny because this is actually related to one of the topics I had on my list for the paranormal poll. Are there experts in the paranormal? The other part of it asks if it is possible to be a professional in the paranormal as well. Now, my friend Dan Bouts, who hosted the Grandark Conspiracy, which broadcasted the Paranormal News Insider for 7 years, he used to say, you can't be an expert in the unknown, which I agree with. I agree. But I also disagree. Now, Teresa points out in her blog, quote, one cannot be an expert or a professional in a field that specializes in subject matter that by very definition cannot be proven to even exist, unquote. However, she points out that there are many other fields that make up what we do, including photography, history, and many other sciences, which you can be an expert in and can be a professional at. And one paragraph that I would love to read is the following. And Teresa says, quote, taking it a step further, this image perpetuates the belief that paranormal research should never go beyond the fringe, and that I don't agree with. There is this widespread acceptance right now that anyone can investigate paranormal claims and be involved in paranormal research. I totally disagree. Just cruising around the web, I see many examples of people who absolutely have no business being in this field. These people do more harm than good to the field, spreading poor, incorrect, or misleading information and partaking in investigations where they are more than likely just to scare the crap out of their client than to provide any insight or answers. We don't allow just anyone to practice medicine, so why should we allow just anyone to enter a private residence and try to communicate with the dead? Unquote. Well, I agree, but I also think that someone who has become disciplined in various areas, where they have become an asset to others, whether part of the paranormal or not, should be considered an expert to some degree. And I'm sure I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this, but I'm going to tell you, the definition of expert includes the following. One, skillful or knowledgeable, having a great deal of knowledge about or skills, training, or experience in a particular field or activity. Two, done by somebody with specialist knowledge, given or done by somebody who is skilled, trained, or experienced in the relevant subject area. Now, nowhere does it say the subject matter must be something explainable or that the person has to be completely mastered the knowledge of that particular field, which I think a lot of people think that an expert means they know everything. And now no expert in any field knows everything. Now, to this point, however, those that call themselves experts, they're usually not. And I would think that experts in our field should be chosen by those who feel this way, and we cannot add this to our own bios. And I think that to some people, maybe I'm an expert at certain things, but to other people, I'm not. And I think that's kind of how we have to look at things. And to cap off everything here, the book of the week kind of touches on the subject a little bit. And it's by an author that I'm sure you guys all know about, a guy named Lloyd Auerbach. And the book of the week this week is a paranormal casebook, Ghost Hunting in the New Millennium. I have featured one of his books. I forget which one. I have it written down somewhere. One of his books in the past on paranormal research. But this one here goes a step further than just a how-to or a this is welcome to parapsychology or Parapsychology 101. This book again, a paranormal casebook. There's a lot of cases in this book, and I highly recommend this to any group that goes out there and does client-based investigations. This book came out 2005. It's been a while. It's been not that long. 2005, got mine autographed. If you go to mindreader.com, you can order yours and get yours autographed as well. Lloyd will do that for you. This book is 254 pages. And like I mentioned, it comes with a bunch of cases. And one of the things that Lloyd points out in this book, prior to these cases, now there is a lot of how-to and a lot of what to do or what not to do kind of thing. And one of the cool things is in section one, where he answers a lot of questions, basic questions, like what are ghosts? Great questions, stuff that people speculate about on message boards and websites, and also talks about different things like, but aren't there photos of ghosts? Oh, yeah, well, we just spent 20 minutes talking about that. Great example or great breakdown of that particular one, too, that a lot of the stuff I've already talked about. Over the course of the show, talking about photographs and ghosts and stuff, but asks a lot of questions, and it kind of builds up towards these cases. And one thing he mentions about these particular individual cases is tools and technology don't have a lot to do with solving them. And each story, he goes about it in a different way. And say almost all of these stories are these cases, I should say, are solved by dealing with the living people. By coming up with methods and ways of either communication or a way to make things stop. So it's interacting with people and the environment, which is something I've also utilized in my E4 method of client-based investigations, which I obviously don't have time to talk about tonight. But it's great how he approaches, and he shows plenty of examples. There's like a dozen cases here. And then he goes into special cases and special places, like the Moss Beach Distillery, the USS Hornet, a few other places that are pretty popular. And then he gets into what makes a paranormal investigator. And then he gets into what to do, what not to do as far as the ghost hunting field is concerned. So if you've ever read any of Lloyd's books, but you don't have this one. This one is going to add a lot more information to what he's already put out there. If you've not read this one, I highly recommend getting your hands on it, whether it's at a used bookstore, a library, or you're ordering it directly from, again, mindreader.com. Get your hands on this book if you want to learn how to do things without relying on tools and technology. Now, he does talk about tools and technology, EMF detectors. Actually talks about the first time he ever used one. So they are necessary to an extent, but to eliminate stuff, not to find ghosts. But great information in this book. Again, a paranormal casebook, Ghost Hunting in the New Millennium by Lloyd Auerbach is the book of the week this week. And yes, an hour has gone by. So many stories. And a couple things I didn't even get a chance to talk about. I didn't get the chance to talk about the all of the corpse flowers blooming. Yes, corpse flowers. And why crop circle research is being hindered by UFO conspiracies. And I just heard before this, I didn't know this, that Ghost Hunters is recasting. Maybe I'll try out for that show. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I will. I don't know. But anyway. That's your news for this week. Conferences, conventions. I need to update my site a little bit behind there on that. I have some new conferences, conventions that I'll be adding in the next couple of days. And you can check that out at paranewsinsider.com, clicking on the events tab at the top. And as always, if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here as well as see it on the website, let me know at insider@paranewsinsider.com. Find me on Facebook. Tweet me on Twitter. Yeah, I'm out there on social media. That's all I got to say about that. Find me on the website. I got a contact form. Whatever you need to do, let me know. I'll be happy to do that for you. Got a Got to take care of business, right? Got to help out. That's what I'm here for. Keep it real. So, again, big thanks to Cindy, my producer, for all the hard work she does each and every night. I mean, she's out here all week putting on these great shows here on WCJV. And to everybody in the chat room, anybody listening live, not that I don't appreciate you for listening to the podcast, the recorded version. I appreciate you as well. And July was a huge month. July was huge, probably one of the most downloaded months for my show. So I'm really, really happy about that. Really, I truly am. So thank you for making me feel like I'm making a difference and I'm doing something that's good for the field. So keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, you know it. Don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.